Hi, I'm Michael. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the missions director. As a church, we are committed to answer God's call to reach every nation. I hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
We're on our third week of our series, The Ability to Produce Wealth. And today we're going to look at, look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting with verse 5. Just read with me before we pray. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and spring, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of these hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I commanded you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Deuteronomy 8, verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hands have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your forefathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Lord, we ask that you would continue to open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, that we might see the truth of your word. We pray, Lord God, that you would continue to transform us, Lord God, into the image of Christ. Let your word sink deep into our hearts, that it will change us to the people you planned us to be, that we might be your instruments of grace and love, Lord, especially in our world, especially to those who don't know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Picture this repeated scenario with me. Many people have probably seen this, and you've probably done it, if not seen it. If you're a father or a parent, you probably experienced this. So the scene is the father is in the swimming pool, about a meter away from the ledge, and he has his two-year-old and three-year-old right there standing in the ledge, and the father is with open arms is encouraging his child, jump, jump, come on, jump. I could imagine if that was a family outing, the other relatives would probably be encouraging and shouting and saying things to the child as well. Go ahead, jump, jump. Now, when you look at that scenario and you consider a few things are sure. One, the father has the strength and the ability to make sure that he catches the young boy or the young child. The father has probably made sure that all the circumstances, all the conditions needed to keep his child safe has been planned for or has been ready. In other words, the chance for the child to to drown or to get into an accident is very minimal. But guess what? The deciding factor is not how favorable the circumstances are. The deciding factor is not how powerful and what ability the father has. The deciding factor lies with the child. And the question is, will he trust or will he not? That is the picture, in a sense, of our relationship with God in almost every area of our lives, including provision. Will you trust God or will you not? You might say, but Pastor, you don't understand my circumstance. You don't understand, or you don't know what about this and what about that. When you come to think about it, the question still stands and the question is still true. Will you trust? Now let's get back to Deuteronomy. The scenario in Deuteronomy is they're about to enter the promised land. The disqualified generation is already gone, in a sense. And now, this new generation is about to walk into the promised land. When you think about it, when you look into it, this is really a book about Moses' different speeches to Israel, explaining to Israel the law of God. In a sense, Deuteronomy means second law. There's not necessarily another law, but the old law is brought back with the new applications for it. God, through Moses, is calling Israel to be faithful to their covenant. The first part of Deuteronomy is Moses is recounting the journey of Israel, their journey as a nation, their journey to the wilderness. That despite God's graciousness, despite God's generosity, despite God's love, Israel was unfaithful. Despite God's love and power that delivered them out of Egypt, they accused God that God wanted to kill them. Despite them walking out of Egypt as the wealthiest human beings in the planet, they accused God that He did not provide. Despite having seen God's powerful hand against their enemies, the cloud by day and the fire by night, they accused God He's not concerned, that He's not with them, that God abandoned them. They even complained and said life was better in Egypt. Can you imagine how crazy all these accusations are? When you read their story, it's evident that God was with them. It's evident that God's power was with them. It's evident that God's grace and God's love and God's extreme generosity was with them. God was faithful. God was generous and gracious. And they, Israel, have been unfaithful and rebellious. Before we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want us to look at two highlights from the book of Deuteronomy that can help us see or challenge us or open our eyes to the context of the text that we're looking at. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses, talking to Israel, says this, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And these words that I have commanded you shall be on your heart." So Moses is talking to the nation of Israel. He's telling them their story, and he's beginning to bring back to them the law of God. And the first thing he says is he reads this law, and it says, "Love the Lord your God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul." This became such an important prayer to the Jews that it was said as a daily prayer in their nation. Hear, Moses says, "Hear, O Israel." The word "hear" means to listen, to respond to what you hear. In other words, to obey. It doesn't just mean that you heard it. It means it's actually challenging you to respond to what you heard. Then he says, Love the Lord your God. The word love here doesn't mean just a feeling. It means it does speak about your emotion, but it also speaks about a decision that has to be made because your emotion is attached to someone or something. A wholehearted devotion with all of your heart, mind, and strength. Your whole being is in it. You're invested in it. You're tied to it. So the truth is, when you love, you will obey. And you will obey because you love. Therefore, wholehearted obedience is the fruit of wholehearted love. The second highlight is that it's near the end of the book before Moses walks away, goes up at the Sinai mountain and waits to die. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, Moses says this to the nation of Israel: I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice and holding fast to Him, for He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. So Moses was talking about the law. Moses was showing them the extreme graciousness and generosity of God. Moses was leading them to a place, and Moses, in a sense, was forcing them to make a decision. And Moses was looking at them and told them, hey, God has set before you life and death, a blessing and a curse. Then Moses says, now you choose what you desire for your life. Are you choosing blessing? Are you choosing the curse? Are you choosing life or death? It's your choice. Make a decision. So let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. What do we see from the scriptures we read earlier? The first one I want to highlight is this: God guarantees prosperity and blessing. God guarantees prosperity and blessing. Notice what the scripture says, what Moses says, and especially how he puts it or how he says it. Verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey. Verse 9, look at this, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord for the Lord, for the good land He has given you. Then he says, take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you eat and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. Wow. Notice how it is said. There's no maybes. There's no double-mindedness. There's no what if. There's no ifs. If you do this, God, in a sense, God is guaranteeing. Moses is telling them, this is what God will do. You will eat bread without scarcity. You will lack nothing. God is bringing you, guaranteeing you a land flowing with fruitfulness. Moses is saying, God will provide. God will bless. God will fulfill His promise. Therefore, you will prosper. You will be blessed. You will have more than enough. God's blessing is a sure thing. It's guaranteed. Secondly, Your blessedness is a picture of God's faithfulness. Your blessedness is a picture of God's faithfulness. Verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. This is the summation of their journey through the wilderness. God was always faithful. And the future, the summation will be the same. God is faithful. God is not just providing for you, He's fulfilling His promise. Remember Abraham's call in Genesis chapter 12, I will bless you and make you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God declared to Abraham and the people and the descendants of Abraham, which they were, that I will bless you and you will be a blessing. God's intention was to use Israel as a showcase for it and an instrument to show His love, His graciousness, His generosity, and His kindness to a world that doesn't know Him. Lastly, we go back to the real question, the real challenge. Now choose, trust God or trust yourself. Verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hands have gotten me this wealth. This is really the God and man question for the ages. This brings us to the question of Deuteronomy. This was the question in the garden after God created Adam and Eve. This was the question for Noah after he walked, before he built the ark and after he walked out of the ark. This is the question when it came to the Tower of Babel. This is a question that confronted Abraham, Moses, David, Jesus. And even today, this is the question we are faced with. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Will you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength? Deuteronomy chapter 30. What will you choose, life or death? God has set a life for you to walk in. It is a life with God's purpose and provision. It is a life covered by the love and the graciousness of God. But it is a life of faith and worship and the worship of God. So the question I want us to live with and to pray about in a few moments is this. Will you trust God? Will you trust God? When we read Scripture, when we study the Word of God, when we meditate on the Word of God, the promise of God are sure. The blessings of God are guaranteed. We serve an amazingly loving, generous, merciful, faithful God. But just like that little boy at the edge of the pool, the question is, will you trust God? Will you trust God? Walking with God will always be a life of trust in God. Before we pray, will you choose to love God? Will you choose to obey God? Will you choose life? Will you trust God? Let us pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for everyone that's here, for everyone that's worshiping you, for everyone that took the time to worship you and to listen to your word. I pray, Lord God, Lord, that you would bring us to a place, Lord God, even now, Lord God. I believe you brought us to this place to choose life or death, blessing or curses, to choose to trust and obey, or to choose to go somewhere else. I want to pray for you right now. If you're saying in your heart, Lord, I choose to obey. I choose to trust. I want to trust. I want to love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Can you just pray with me right now? Just follow after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the blessings that you have given us, given me. Thank you that in Christ, I can experience the life that you've planned, paid for, and provided for me. Lord, I want to trust you. In fact, Lord, I put my life before you again, and I express my heart that I choose to trust you again today. Lord, I pray for everyone that prayed that prayer. Lord, I pray, Lord God, let your wisdom, your insight, and your strength help them grow, help them walk with you. I pray, Lord God, that you would, Lord, pour out your love upon them like they've never experienced before. I pray, Lord God, that their experience of your grace will continue to grow and expand. Lord, that each one of us would be a people that will continue to trust you. We may fail, we may fall, but we will stand up and trust you all over again for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join a victory group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.